Energy Stew with Peter Roth, Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. Are you grateful enough? I don't mean about hearing the show, but maybe you are. I'm grateful that you're hearing it. So I'm grateful. And we're going to talk about gratitude. The Gratitude Power Workbook. This is a book that I've really enjoyed reading and examining in a way that I think is very empowering. And I, of course, want to empower all my audience. So I love books like this. And to help us talk about this wonderful book is a man who's actually in the book. The book talks about him, and he actually contributes to it. So I asked him to be on the show, and he has his own book coming out soon. And that's Alan Kaufman. Alan, welcome.
Hello, welcome. Thank you.
I'm glad you could join us to talk about all your gratitude.
I'm grateful to be here.
Yeah, good. Well, you know, it's such a tough topic for a lot of people. It's easy to say. It's easy to tell people that if you have gratitude, it'll help you in life. And a lot of people say, okay, let me think of what I can be grateful for. But then all of a sudden they're swamped with all their fears and their feelings of lack, et cetera, and it kind of disappears. So it's nice to have a workbook that kind of helps us work on that project.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure we're going to talk in the future on a show later on in the fall about your new book that's coming out. And it's a book about, it's called Drunken Angel. I guess you're the angel, aren't you?
Well, I suppose one could say that Drunken Angel is a signifier for me, but I like to think that Drunken Angel is that aspect of myself that was seeking transcendence but getting dragged down into the depths. That the angel was, you know, wrestling in a way, with my ego, I guess. And I'm happy to say that, for the last 21 years of my sobriety, the angel appears to be winning.
Well, I'm sure you were always an angel, but you didn't look it on the outside. And the drunkenness is still there, but now it's angelic and in a positive way, to the point where you're quoted in the gratitude book at length,
yes.
Actually.
Yes.
And so it's hard for people. This is a subject that I don't want to be light about. It's too easy to tell people just be grateful. And they'll say, well, you know, I can try to find a few things to be grateful about, but how come I still don't have, and I still won't have, and this is bothering me, and that's bothering me, and the world is all screwed up. And, you know, I mean, that's something that a lot of people have trouble with. So
yeah.
Where do we get to the gratefulness? And you had to get there, because as you just said, you had 21 years that... of sobriety since a time that you went through a long period of time that you weren't.
Well, I drank for 22 years. Drank myself into the streets of New York City, actually. I was living in Tompkins Square Park in the East Village for a time. And, you know, I was at the point of, I was at death's door, literally, when I came into sobriety. And so, you know, one of the first things that I was advised in recovery was to be grateful. And I was like, grateful? Grateful for what?
Right, exactly.
You know, I just couldn't even imagine what I could be grateful for. I had been homeless. I had no money. I came out to San Francisco with a week on a Greyhound bus. I rode the dog out here. with $67 in my pocket and a black garbage bag filled with my belongings in it. And, you know, I had DTs and shakes and was hallucinating with fear and paranoia, all the wonderful after effects of, you know, stopping drinking. And, you know, landed out here with nothing and started, you know, going to 12-step meetings. And everywhere I went, you know, I heard, you know, be grateful, be grateful. And, you know, one of the things that I realized was that the gratitude was a matter of my attitude. In other words, they were saying, you know, you're not a victim now. You do have power, even though you seem to be completely powerless. You have power. You have the power to acknowledge your life right now. You have the power to acknowledge what exists. And I realized, you know, for so many years, when I was drinking, I was blacking out what exists. I was blacking out the world, really. And, you know, we don't have to be drunks to do that. We don't have to be addicts to do that. We can black out life just in our everyday existence. The most normal people can black out what exists all around them.
Right. Every you know, day we have choices to make.
Every day. You know, I mean, think about, you know, I think Thich Nhat Hanh talks a lot about mindfulness. Gratitude is a form of mindfulness. You know, think about how much of life, you know, is there in front of us that we don't acknowledge or countenance in any way. For instance, this morning, you know, I make a gratitude list every morning. And this morning, I couldn't think of what to write. And I looked down at my hands and I saw the hand holding the pen. And I was like, oh, right, I've got hands. And I wrote down, you know, thank you for my hand. You know, thank you for the hand that holds this pen, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we forget. We have feet, we have hands.
And there are people who don't.
You know what? You know, I'm very kind of cognizant right now of these physical things, you know, my body and things around us, because I've been going every day to visit a young man who's about 31. Well, he just turned 32. Yesterday was his birthday, and his body is failing completely. He, you know, from alcohol-related causes. He's has a collapsed liver, collapsed kidneys, jaundice. His body is completely failing. And, you know, every day that I walk out of there, I look up at the sky and I realize, you know, that the likelihood is shrinking that he may ever see that sky. And I get to walk out of the hospital and see the sky, to see the world around me, just to walk. And I say thank you. You know, I say thank you to my higher power. I say thank you to existence, to the world. Thank you that I can do this. You know, that I can look, that I can see. That I can breathe. Thank you.
Right. And the fact that you write a list is great. And that's what this Gratitude Power Workbook is about. It's really about showing how to assemble your gratitude and to find it.
That's right. It's a book. Yeah, she's put together a book of actions that one can take to achieve gratitude and enrich one's life.
Yeah. And it's interesting because she also acknowledges that we come from a place where we struggle. Everybody struggles. And it's kind of a glass half full, glass, you know, half empty attitude. You know, do we want to look at the part of the glass that's empty, or do we want to look at the part of the glass that is already full? And we have those choices to make every day, and it's not easy. I work with a lot of people. I do a lot of counseling, and I hear from people all the time how they can't believe in themselves and they can't believe in life, and they don't know what they're living for. And I guess part of my job is to help them find the core of light in them that they can then build from and appreciate themselves and the world in much better ways. And it's wonderful to watch people grow out of their their dilemmas. And
what wonderful work you're doing.
Well, thank you. But one of the things that I always look back on, because I've worked for so many years with so many people, that so many times people look back on the troubles that they've been through and actually understand what the good of it was.
Right.
And I think that's so important to, you know, look at you. You have a richness about you and an understanding in life that you probably couldn't have gotten if you hadn't dragged yourself through the mud.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's exactly right. You know, one of the things that I was told when I came into recovery is, be great. I used to hear people say, I'm grateful to be an alcoholic. I was like, how could you be grateful to be an alcoholic? This is the worst catastrophe that ever could have befallen me. But now that I've had 21 years of sobriety, I am incredibly grateful to be an alcoholic. I'm incredibly grateful that what befell me did, that I hit the bottom that I did, because he brought me up face to face against the pith and marrow of my existence. It brought me to a clear choice, to die or to live. And if I was to live, each day I must grow. And if I'm going to grow, each day I must adopt an attitude of gratitude. And if I'm going to adopt a gratitude of attitude, an attitude of gratitude, I'm going to have to take action. I am not naturally inclined towards gratitude. I wake up grouchy. I wake up mean-spirited. I wake up angry at the world. Often I wake up kind of grouchy. I notice that when I wake up, I'm like in a bad mood sometimes, you know. And so even before I open my eyes, I have to begin to take actions, and I do. One thing I'll do is I'll smile. I'll force myself to smile and think three positive thoughts.
It's been scientifically proven that doing that actually can
direct your whole day. It can steer your whole day into a kind of positive light.
It's called faking it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it.
Right.
And I have to take action. I wake up. I do meditation. I do my own form of prayers. I write a gratitude list, and so forth. I have to take action. You know, the Hasidim, they used to advise people, well, it was part of their practice, it is part of their practice, to say a blessing on everything. If you go to the sea, you say a blessing on the sea. If you see a tree, you bless the tree. If you eat bread, you bless the bread, and so forth. That's a way of kind of peopling the world, and a way of acknowledging a kind of interdependence with things outside ourselves. And to realize gratitude is a way of waking up to the fact that we need each other. We need other people. We need the world, and the world needs us. And it's a way of belonging. Gratitude is a path to belonging to the world and to others, right. To others belonging to you. They need you. If you need them, they need you. But and that's something to be grateful for.
But also to be conscious of gratitude is to be awake because you're looking. You're aware.
You're aware. You're peopling the world. You're sort of like Adam walking through the world, naming the world. You know, you say a blessing on the tree, you're acknowledging the existence of the tree. You say a blessing on the food you eat, you acknowledge the food that you're eating. Just to say thank you. Thank you for this tree. Thank you for this food. Thank you for this radio show. Thank you for this wonderful counselor, you know, that you are.
Right. But what if you're in the midst of a problem that that's really a horrible problem, and you don't know how to be thankful about it.
Yeah.
But then again, what I said before still goes, is that we don't know that this horrible problem isn't leading us into a better place.
Well, let me tell you a little anecdote, if I may, share with you a little anecdote experience. I mentioned this young man in the hospital. Well, the call came 3 weeks ago to come see him. And the call came 5 minutes after I received the call that my father had passed away.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. That's terrible.
My father passed away. Yeah. I got the call. I was absolutely shattered. And 5 minutes later, the call came asking, would I go to this hospital to see this young man whose mother had called asking for help for her son? And I stood there, you know, with the phone in my hand thinking, surely they got to be kidding. I mean, I'm not going to go see anybody now. My father has passed away. I need help. I need succor. I need solace. But my lips said yes. Because my lips, like my feet and my hands, I've trained to say yes when my mind says no. And so I said yes. And I went. I was so disgruntled going to the hospital. I was so angry that I have to go do this and annoyed and irritated, and I felt sorry for myself. That was terrible. And I got to the hospital, and there I was face to face with this young man who was in a terrible, you know, kind of peril. And he looked at me, and he said, how are you? And I looked at him, and for a moment, you know, I was going to say, oh, I'm great. I said, I'm terrible. My father just passed away, and I'm having trouble in a relationship I'm in, and I feel very bleak right now. And he looked at me, he goes, really? I go, yeah. I said, and how are you? And he said, I'm afraid of the situation I'm in. I'm scared of my physical state, and I'm worried about being in this hospital. I'm scared. And you know what happened was we both began to talk to each other heart to heart. And when we finished that conversation, about an hour later, we were both smiling from ear to ear.
That's beautiful.
We were grateful.
It's beautiful because you were connected in a deeper way of empathy and sharing your heartache.
Exactly.
And
that can be a way of being grateful.
Sure.
And that can lead to gratitude.
It's beautiful. And that's why we do need to collaborate with others a lot. That's why people...
We need each other.
Yeah.
We need each other.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so that's a very important point to make in our gratitude lists of who our friends are, how we care for them, how they care for us, and what it means in our life. And that's beautiful. And so that's part of it. You know, I was just looking at a quote in the workbook from Duke Ellington. He said, I merely took the energy it takes to pout and wrote some blues.
Well, yeah, there it is. That's
yeah.
A great way to express one's gratitude is to direct that energy, even that negative energy, into some creative act.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can be doing it just to get some relief. You know, but we can produce something that's immortal, as Duke Ellington did.
Well, after 9/11, the heart outpouring was huge, and as terrible as an event that was, in New York City, I'm in New York City, and the mutuality of sharing and caring and what can we do next to help was so huge and beautiful.
Yep.
And universal.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, that's an amazing experience to have, because then after that things got a lot worse.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot more people have died since for a lot of I think perhaps unnecessary ways, and we're looking at a world that, you know, needs to find itself, and maybe gratitude is one of the ways that we can create a future on this planet.
Yes, I mean, I think, you know, right now people, you know, when they look at things, mainly for now, right now, they seem to talk chiefly about the economy. And that seems to be their number one concern. But, you know, when I, as an individual looking out, say, at the economy, I mean, really, I'm powerless. Over the economy. I personally cannot control the world, global economy, the U.S. economy, or even the local economy. I can contribute my own actions towards the economy, but even that could, you know, lend itself to a kind of state of futility, you know, if I'm really looking for things to turn around. So what do I have control over? You know, what do I have power over? at what really matters, you know, ultimately. And so those are the things that are directly in front of me today in the next 24 hours, within the next 24 hours. You know, my contribution to Nina's book is a little essay called The Journeyman, because a journeyman was, back in the day, someone who was willing to travel for 24 hours in any direction to do a particular, perform a particular task. It wouldn't travel a distance greater than 24 hours. And, you know, that's how I look at my life, as compartmentalized into a 24-hour unit that I do have power over. I don't have power over the entire future. You know, Eleanor Roosevelt said, I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt said, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, all we have is the present, which is a gift. And you know, so I look at the 24 hours in front of me, and I say, okay, what can I do here? You know, and it really begins with right now. It begins with where I am right now, what I'm doing right now, and my attitude towards that. And so what I do is I have gratitude for the here and the now. And when I do, I begin to feel a sense of empowerment, of possibility, of mystery, of magic, because, you see, all of those things, in my estimation, are present in front of us right this second, if we only awaken to them. And if I set forth on my day as a journeyman for the next 24 hours, empowered in that way, it's going to have an impact on all areas of my life, including the economic picture. It's going to have an effect, and it's going to have a beneficial effect. It's, I've never been ever without, you know, in the last 21 years without a roof over my head, and this is from a person who was living in the streets for a while when I was drinking. In the last 21 years, I've never been without a roof over my head. I've never been without food on my table. I've never been without money in my pocket. I've never been without friends around me to lean on if I need them. I've always had those things. Life is providing. But I have to do the work, you know, to show up for life. And I have to do the work of showing up with the right attitude to meet the challenges of the day.
Right, to make those right choices.
To make those right choices. And you know what? Last thing I'll say is I have to have an attitude of service. If I really want to change things in my life and possibly in the bigger picture, I have to have an attitude of service. And gratitude is very, very much, and I think Nina's workbook is very much about getting us into a posture of service, getting us into a spiritual posture, a mental posture of service. How can I be of service? How can I contribute to the world? Because as I give to the world, in a way, so the world will give to me. You know?
Well, it's
if I
also
give gratitude to the world will be grateful to me.
It's also planning ahead for gratitude.
And, yeah.
What can I do that I'll be able to hold a lot of gratitude about?
That's right, you know. So many people, you know, it's so fantastic about, for instance, Hollywood stars that get into trouble of sordid kinds, you know, and it's reported over the media. We even had a president who got into that kind of trouble. You know, how could that be? I mean, how could they be in such positions of such prominence and affluence and power and get into such sordid trouble? And I think it's because they didn't have the right spiritual posture to meet the opportunities that came their way. They simply weren't up to all the good that came to them.
Well, I think so gratitude,
being up to, you know, wanting good is not necessarily the answer, you know?
Right.
Wanting all of it.
But I think what you're talking about is humility.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Because gratitude is what we're thankful about. And we can't be thankful if we think that we are in charge and created it all and we're the power. We have
exactly.
to be grateful for how life comes at us and
exactly.
brings its presence.
And Nina makes that point in her book. Nina emphasizes the matter of humility. You know, we have to have these qualities. We have to develop, cultivate these qualities if we really want to have gratitude and if we want to have the kind of life that gratitude brings. And it takes action, and that's what her workbook is really about taking these various actions. And she has these wonderful kinds of exercises that one could actually do to achieve gratitude.
Right, and there are a lot of lists to make. And one thing I like is that there are different levels of things that we're grateful for, and there are constants in our life that we can be grateful for.
That's right.
And if we have if we're asked to make a gratitude list every day, there probably could be 100 things that should always be on that list, but we don't have to write them down each time. So we could have like a standard list that we keep on the side, and then we can have maybe an intermediate list of things that we often feel grateful about, and they come and go, and et cetera. And then we can have an immediate list of, so maybe it's good to have to use the workbook and build a list that you can post on your wall of
all
the, in big letters.
Absolutely. Any kind of visual tool helps. I'm a big believer in writing, in making lists. In writing, actually, even when I write my books, I start my book off with a list. I begin with a list of things. So listing things is very important. Asking oneself questions is very important. Affirmations are important. Journaling is important. And she does, you know, have these various forms for doing that, formats for doing that. And, you know, may I put in, you know, I'm not a religious person.
Tell us the name of your first book.
What's that?
What's the name of your first book?
Oh, my first book was called Jew Boy.
Oh, and you're not religious. Okay, good.
It's a memoir about being the son of a Holocaust survivor. I'm not religious, but I consider myself spiritual. You know, they say religion is for people who are afraid of going to hell, and spirituality is for people who have already been there.
that's great. I've always, people always look at me and say, "Oh, you're Jewish," but I actually come from a mixed family, and I was bar mitzvahed, so I guess in sense I also have a religious background. But you and I are both understand spirituality, and gratitude is a very spiritual activity.
Well, I wanted to put in a little word for prayer. Because
we only have about a minute left, by the way.
Ah, okay, then we'll let's spend it well.
Right.
Just to say that, you know, I want to put in a word for prayer. It doesn't have to be a religious prayer. Just speaking from the heart, you know, just vocally expressing one's gratitude, saying a few words out loud. Thank you, you know, for this tree. Thank you for this wonderful person. Thank you for this wonderful interview. Can be a very, sure, very empowering action.
And people often say that gratitude actually brings good fortune.
It does bring good fortune. And absolutely.
Certainly creates.
We manifest our world. We really do.
Right. And gratitude creates a positive outlook.
Absolutely. And we deserve that. You deserve it. I deserve it. We all do.
Sure. And so the name of the book is The Gratitude Power Workbook. Nina Lesowitz is the woman you've been talking about, but also
Nina Lesowitz and Mary Beth Samen.
Right. And right. And you're a contributor to the book. And your name is Alan Kaufman.
Alan Kaufman.
Kaufman. And how can people find you?
Well, I've got a book coming out in the fall called Drunken Angel. It's a memoir. I have a couple other books out called The Outlaw Bible of American Poetry, Jew Boy, a memoir about being son of a Holocaust survivor, and another novel called Matches that came out with Little Brown. So I've got a bunch. I've got about 7 books out, and I'm in San Francisco. And just look me up online and put Alan Kaufman, author, and you'll see all kinds of stuff come up. And Amazon, of course.
Sounds great, Alan. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
It was my great pleasure, and thank you.
And mine. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network, and I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, and thank you so much for listening.